97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Well, we made it to Friday, and guess what? It's raining again. So I don't know what to tell you, folks. If you got part of the big plans this weekend, like Carl, Mr. and Mrs. Middleman do, and Mr. and Mrs. Cox have plans to go see or at least listen to Billy Joel and Sting tonight, I think we're going to have to get the rain gear out, Carl Middleman. What do you think?
Why? We're going to be inside.
No, we will not be inside. What are you talking
about? I'm planning on being inside.
Well, they're talking about winds up to 45 miles per hour tonight.
So we have plans, Carl and I, to go down to a friend's apartment at One Cardinal Way and listen to the concert, right? Because it's outdoors at Busch Stadium. It overlooks the stadium. You should be able to hear it just fine. But there's a pool deck out there where people were going to gather and listen to the concert. But if it's raining sideways, you're not going to be outside. And if you're inside, you won't be able to hear it.
Allegedly, at 6 o'clock, it's going to be a 20% chance of rain. And Celebration Day, the Led Zeppelin tribute is out at St. Louis Music Park.
Okay.
Tonight, too.
Ah.
But that one's covered.
And Evolution Festival is taking place, is it tonight or is it
tomorrow?
Just
tomorrow and Sunday. Yep.
And then you got soccer games and you got
hockey.
All kinds of stuff. Well, hockey's covered.
Yep.
But it's going to be a mess. And guess what we have for you this morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show? Live, in person, in St. Louis, and he won't be in our studio, but he will be calling in, would be one David Murray.
He will be in the building later today.
Dave Murray, the official meteorologist, apparently, of this Evolution Festival. I guess Steve Shankman pays him to be here to watch the weather for this thing, and since he's the official meteorologist of 97.1, we're going to check in with him this morning. Obviously, we're getting the northern effects, the northernmost effects, I would imagine, of this hurricane that's now somewhere over the middle of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pushing some of the rain just into the edge of St. Louis. I mean, we're barely in the edge of it, but it's enough in a circular motion to just soak us most of the day today. So,
yeah, you do feel bad for all the people you guys included, who have plans this weekend. Well, I mean, even if it stops raining by, let's say, tonight, the grounds will likely be soaked for, I mean, soaked is maybe dramatic, but wet for the Evolution Festival tomorrow.
You're right.
Here's the bright side.
Trying to be optimistic here.
For me and Carl Middleman.
Yeah.
We did not commit to buying a seat at Busch Stadium. So if you overpaid for a seat to Billy Joel and Sting tonight, you're going to have to take rain gear and sit there and get wet if you want to hear the concert. We have the option of just bailing, and it won't cost us an arm and a leg. Right, Carl?
Because we're going to have dinner.
At what point do they cancel it? I mean,
they don't.
They will not. So you're saying torrential downpour, they will still perform?
Unless there's lightning.
Lightning.
Wow.
But so they'll be on a covered part of the stage, is this correct?
Yes.
Okay. So they will have, unless it's raining sideways, Billy Joel and Sting will be somewhat protected by the rain.
Fine.
Yeah. Here's the positive side I would say about this if you're going tonight. The weather is blowing in from the east. Normally the rain comes in from the west. In this particular case, their backs will be to where the rain is coming from. The back of the stage will be there, so the stars will be protected from the rain. It'll be hitting the faces of the people staring at them.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm just pointing out, for Billy Joel and Sting, it should be okay.
I'm really happy.
You,
I'm happy for them.
You're going to be wet puppy
dogs. You know what we're
going
to do? My husband and I are going to eat some New York strip steak that I bought yesterday.
Nice.
With some asparagus and delicious salad, and call us children. But Inside Out 2 came out on Disney Plus, and I actually kind of want to. I'm actually excited to watch.
It's really good.
It just sounds like a really cozy night.
It's what you have to look forward to.
That as an adult now, that is what I'm looking forward to.
Nice. Are you going to do a double feature? Watch the first one, then the second one?
No, I mean, I've seen the first one.
Watch Riley's First Date as well. Have you seen that one? That's the short.
Is that a short? No.
Yeah.
So it's on Disney Plus?
Just, I think, Wednesday it released.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to pay like $20 for a ticket at the movie theater.
I do not blame you for that at all. All right. We do have lots to get to for you this morning. A little later, we're going to have a guy in who is one of the co-writers and cinematographers of a new documentary out there about January 6th. It's a lot of apparently fresh footage from that day, and I'm anxious to hear his take on it, to be honest with you. I don't know where he's coming from on it. I've tried to do a little bit of research on the doc. It apparently is not, there's not even commentary under it. It's just video from that day, which I'm anxious to see because it just so happens that I was there. So I don't know if Ford Fisher was there or not, but he's going to join us at about 8:20, and we're going to talk about his new documentary, Fight Like Hell, that he's got out there. By the way, we're going to get the show up live on Rumble this morning. We'll be on X. We're up right now?
Yep.
All right, good, good. Check that out, and you, remember, you don't have to be registered to watch it. You'd only have to be registered if you want to take part in the comments there.
Actually,
on
Actually, we're
Rumble.
Not. We are up. You are not. Turn your camera a little bit to the, your right. There you are.
Ah, look at that. So beautiful at 5 in the morning. All right. hey, let's get to the top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And whether you call her a border czar or just say that she was put in charge of the border, doesn't make any difference. Same thing. She's done a horrible job.
Yeah, Trump talking about the fact that Kamala could end up standing in front of the wall he built at the border today, trying to claim some sort of success.
It is a false choice to suggest you are either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away.
No, no, it's not. Because what we know is that when you were in San Francisco, you supported taking everyone's handgun away. They tried to ban handguns when Kamala Harris was an elected official in the city of San Francisco.
Just to be clear, for the record, are you definitively able to say that you are voting for Vice President Harris?
And join this race to decide who the president is, or to tell people, other people, how to decide to vote for the president.
Oh man, that's Lucas Kuntz. He is running the opposite direction from the Democratic presidential candidate, Kamala Harris. How about that?
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
That interview, I'm stunned that CNN released it. They sat down with a bunch of grade schoolers and asked them questions about current politics. And that kid hip-checked Kamala Harris.
This is such an interesting story because what they found doing this report was that the Democrat-leaning kids, meaning kids whose parents are very Democratic, liberal, they're 9 times more likely to express negative emotion about Donald Trump than Republican-leaning kids are to say about Kamala Harris.
Well, they live with snowflakes, and that's part of the problem. And I also think you need to be careful there, and I'm guilty of it too, in referring to them parents as being Democratic. They're Democrat, but they're anti-democratic, is what I would argue. That's a funny word because the Democrats want to talk about the end of democracy, and
yep.
You think of the word Democrat, and you think of the word if something is democratic or not, means is it has a tendency to suggest is it. Was it a fair vote? That sort of thing. It's not. We can't transpose those words. I did it yesterday.
But I go back to the fact that
myself.
we're a constitutional republic. But yes, I do
absolutely.
Know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mixed it up myself. It's not. The Democratic Party is not democratic. The Democrat Party. I just did it again. The Democrat Party is not democratic when it comes to these issues. Look at their vice. Their vice president became the presidential nominee without a single vote of the people in the United States. That's not democratic under any way you slice it. I do want to get back to this Lucas Kuntz story. This guy is I watched these ads with this joker. And he wants you to believe he's a veteran, he's a Missourian just like you, he's fighting for your principles, he's common sense, he's tough, he's the guy you're going to see at the grocery store, blah, blah, blah. And this interview yesterday on NBC with Kristen Welker just exposed this guy for the radical leftist that he is. And I'm going to play those bites for you when we come back. Also, just a note here. And you don't have access to it yet, but you're going to get early information this morning. The Mark Cox voter guide is done.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It is finished. We're going to talk about it this morning. However, it may not be posted to our website until a little later in the day. I'm just warning you now. By some point this morning, we will get this up on the website. I promise you that. Part of the I'll take the blame for that, right? And I'll tell you the story when we come back, right after we listen to The Fray.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
You know, I really hate when I have to go back on my word, but I kind of did and I kind of didn't, because I told you I would have the voter guide out by Thursday or Friday. Today is Friday, as I checked the calendar. I have the voter guide in my grubby little fingers this morning. It's right here. It's not up on the website yet because I didn't try to get it posted until like 6:15 last night. And I reached out to my boss and I'm like, all right, since Abby isn't here anymore and Trish is on maternity leave, who can post this to the web for me? I'd like it posted by 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And he incredulously texted back, it's 6:15. There's nobody at the station right now that can do it. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I want it right now.
That's what my 20-month-old, almost 20-month-old, and, the mindset.
And that's what I said to him. I want what I want, and I want it right now.
Yep.
And he said, that's okay, I understand. I have 40 of you. So
only 40?
Well, he said 40 of you. He has plenty of people who demand things that cannot, that are not realistic.
I think he was saying children.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this will be posted this morning on the 97.1 website, and I'll put a link up on the Facebook page. I promise you that. In the meantime, throughout the course of the morning, we will talk about my picks here on the November Voters Guide, particularly these amendments. They're tricky. They're designed to be tricky. And what I've done here, you know what we do every morning at the top of the hour? We do a short list. The short list is designed to kind of condense some of the top news stories and with a little bit of commentary from me. I put together a short list here with the amendment and how I'm voting. Amendment 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, and Prop A, with a yes or a no next to it to make it easy for you. And then just below that, I go into detail about what each of these amendments is, what it does, and why I'm voting the way I'm voting. So there's an explanation there, and then you can make up your own mind. But that's the purpose of the voter guide. It's pretty simple. I want to present in everyday language, and my common sense approach to this is I'm going to read through the legalese of these amendment and initiative petitions that they post, and then tell you what I think they're really after, what it's going to do, what the real impact is, positive or negative. Then you can make your mind up on it. It's my analysis of these amendments. And you cannot just walk into the voting booth on November 5th and decide that you know that you can decipher what they're at, what it's really about, because some of these things are 7 or 8 or 10 pages long, and you've really got to read them to understand them. So I've done that for you, and you can read my analysis on the voter's guide. It will be available to you online. Hopefully, maybe before the end of the show, but I'm not holding my breath on that. And it was all because I waited too late to try to get it posted. So that's my fault. I apologize, but it is only September 27th, and you have plenty of time to vote. So hopefully that is helpful, I hope. In a minute, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. What are we talking about, Kim, real quick?
We have to talk about the CNN story. The responses from these kids when they were asked, for example, would your parents let you go over to a friend's house if their parents supported Kamala or Trump? You have to hear what they say.
All right, coming up in just a minute.
Kim on a whim. Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
Well, that was one of the responses that was given to researchers who conducted this study for CNN. And here's what they did. They talked to 10-year-olds, so elementary school students, 80 elementary schoolers. And what they specifically targeted Arizona, New Jersey, and Texas. They initially interviewed these students back in the spring. So that, of course, would have been when Joe Biden was still at the top of the ticket with Trump. And then they went back not that long ago when Kamala Harris was the nominee to re-interview some of these kids.
I
don't think all of the kids agreed to be interviewed again. But the parents who did say, OK, yes, they can go ahead and get interviewed again. They did talk to them just to gauge the polarization that you're seeing, even in children as young as 10 years old. Now, obviously, they're just regurgitating what their parents are saying. But some of these responses that the kids gave are really, really mind blowing. Carl, will you want to play clip number 5 for us?
They'd be OK with you going over to somebody's house who is really supportive of President Trump?
No.
No. And why not?
Because they know that he's not like black people, so they will not be happy to see me.
Would your family let you go over to somebody's house who's really supportive of Donald Trump?
No.
No, they wouldn't?
No.
And why not?
Because, like, my mom and dad don't like Donald Trump at all. Not a single bit.
Would you be okay going over to somebody's house whose family really likes Kamala Harris?
I think it'd be fine. It's just about the personality of the people.
Wow, what a difference. So the kid whose parents clearly support Trump said he would be willing or would be allowed to go over to a kid's house whose parents clearly supported Kamala. In fact, she showed the picture she was showing these kids had houses with a Harris Walls sign in the front with a Trump Vance sign. And said, okay, if they had this sign, basically, and you knew they were Trump supporters, would you be allowed to go over to the house? Is that not very interesting?
I would worry, as a parent, if there was somebody that vocal about it, if they would try to influence my kid. I mean, the kid's probably not worried about it. As a parent, I might have a concern if this kid's saying, my parents really hate Trump. I would think twice about letting my kid go over there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You have to wonder what some of these parents, not even just about Trump versus Harris, but just some of these controversial topics, like the books that they might be reading to my children or the things they might be talking about, the places they might be taking them to and where what they would potentially be exposed to. My gosh, you have to think about all these things and you don't want to create further division, but that's very important to me. So as Easton gets older, that's something I'm going to have to factor in when deciding, okay, whose house am I going to let him go to? What is interesting to note is it said most of the children in the fall interviews, nearly 2/3 of them supported Harris. There was an even split in Texas. And you can imagine the other states where, you know, what that came out to. But yeah, the fact that these kids were saying things, they were comparing Trump to Hitler. That was what one of the kids said in response when the researcher said, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think of Trump? Hitler.
Oh, my God.
That's awful.
How old are these kids?
These are kids who are 10 years old, fifth graders. Fifth graders. Now, it's fun. It's CNN and they're, gosh, you brought this up earlier. You're like, gosh, I'm surprised CNN even did this story and actually published it based on the findings, because it doesn't make the Kamala supporters look that great, to be honest with you.
I've got a story I'm going to do when we come back from the break here in a few minutes about what you're not hearing in these national polls. And CNN's, this may be one example of it. I'm a little surprised they even aired the soundbite with the kid saying liar, first word I think of when I think of Kamala Harris. But they've also been caught this week where they were trying to talk to union workers and get their real opinion. Well, and it's almost like the goal of it was to convince them to change their minds. Like, you're a union member. You're in this union that overwhelmingly voted that you're in favor of Donald Trump. Do you know what happened on January 6th? These people are like, I've heard of it. I don't really care.
It's like those signs or something from, the, I think, a Wizard of Oz, where it's like, are you sure? I'd turn back if I were you. Are they going to post those signs? Anyone they know who's voting
They're
for Donald
trying.
Trump, do we have to walk past a series of signs? Are you sure? Are you really sure? Think again about your decision. I'd turn back if I were you. You're wrong. You're a bigot.
Right, because so many people in this country, Trump derangement syndrome, it's funny. It's funny to say that people have a, you know, some sort of mental block about Donald Trump, but they've really been brainwashed. They've been brainwashed into this idea that he's dangerous, which the conclusion of that has been two assassination attempts. Now there are rumors that surface-to-air missiles have been snuck into the United States over the southern border with the intent of trying to shoot down Donald Trump's plane. I don't know how they're going to track it if these stories are true, but... It's really getting, it's not funny anymore. Trump derangement syndrome is not funny anymore. For the people that are affected by it, if you want to still use that term, the impact is real. When you're convincing middle school age kids that a legitimate mainstream political figure in the United States who only talks about loving the country and wanting to protect jobs and create jobs and make America great again is being compared to somebody who committed genocide of 6 million Jews. That's sick. The parents ought to be sent in for mental health treatment. Even make that comparison, you may not be capable of raising a child. You may pose a threat to that child if you're filling their heads with those kinds of lies.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
I agree. I mean, I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but I am nervous for Trump. I really feel like the assassination attempts are not going to stop, certainly if he's elected. I'm nervous about him getting to November. I mean, that's how hateful people are toward Donald Trump. This CNN study says researchers found that Democrat-supporting kids drove polarization in that study, and the children were more likely to say they wouldn't be friends with someone who supports Trump. Kids in the red states, on the other hand, were more likely to repeat, quote, as CNN says, misinformation. There it is. See, just when you're shocked that CNN has even aired this report, which I still am, they have to put a line in there like that just to remind us. Don't worry, guys. We are still biased.
Yeah.
If you thought we had gone neutral, don't. We're not. We're still not objective.
We're not a trustworthy
news site.
Yeah.
For all those loyal viewers who turn to CNN knowing that they're going to get only one side, their narrative that they just want to see repeated over and over and over again, which is that Kamala's the hero America needs to be saved and Trump is, well, basically Hitler.
Right.
So, right. Gosh, yeah, 10 years old, that's crazy. The fact that, God, you're right. The parents, that is so sad. Think about the conversations that some parents have had in front of these children and the language that they're using.
It must be. They must have picked it up. I mean, I have a hard time believing you're sitting down with a middle schooler.
Elementary schooler. These are fifth graders.
Elementary school, if it's fifth grade. And having those kind of conversations with them. There's a man running for president who's just like a man who in history killed 6 million people. He's horrible. He's that bad. He will damage democracy. I mean, that's the kind of garbage that you need to be called out for. If you know somebody's doing that to their kid, you need to call them out for that.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah, these children were asked among the presidential candidates, which do they think would keep him safer, which is more honest, and which is more likely to do bad things. And I love the answer that one of the kids gave when asked what their opinion is on Donald Trump. This kid said, "Go America." I was like, go America.
Nice.
I do. I like that kid.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this is not happening, you know, in our local schools. But you know there are people scattered throughout Webster Groves and Kirkwood who are nodding right now because they know somebody like that.
Well, yeah. And these kids, one of the girls said that she thinks it's very important for the country to have a woman of color be president.
Oh,
that was her response.
God.
So there's that.
My favorite meme from yesterday was... a woman and her daughter, the daughter's looking at her going, "Mommy, but the food rations don't fill me up. They don't fill up my tummy." And she said, "I'm sorry, honey. I really wanted a female president."
That'll fix it.
Not that her gender has anything to do with this. It's her lack of intellect that is the challenge here. She doesn't understand basic economics. Let's just call it what it is. An interesting poll out I want to get to when I come back here in just a couple of minutes. And an article about the likelihood of this being just like 2016. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Just to be clear, for the record, are you definitively able to say that you are voting for Vice President Harris?
And join this race to decide who the president is, or to tell people, other people, how to decide to vote for the president. You know, it's a uphill battle for me just going around Missouri, asking people to vote for me for U.S. Senate. So I'm focusing on that. I'm real excited to get into this office and win. And I can tell you right now, I will work with anyone and any president to bring money back to our state and do all the things that everyday people here in Missouri need. And that includes codifying Roe versus Wade, ending the filibuster, passing the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, and many other things.
But you're comfortable saying you're going to support the amendment in your state. You're not going to support, or you can't say definitively here and now that you will support the Democratic nominee for president?
Again, I didn't get in the race to try to decide how other people vote for president. I've gotten into this race to sell myself, to talk about what I'm going to do for Missouri, and I just want to stay hyper-focused on that.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Lucas Dunce, Kuntz, who is the Democrat Senate candidate running against Josh Hawley, and he's running away from Kamala Harris, like sprinting away. He wants nothing to do with Kamala Harris because what he's hoping is, here's what he's hoping. He's hoping all the crazy pink hat people and the suburban moms who've been fooled into thinking they should allow abortion up until birth, who are going to rush out to the polls and vote, might vote for, they might still be voting for Trump, but they're going to vote for Amendment 3, and he's hoping they'll vote for him. He's hoping it'll draw enough Democrats out there. He doesn't want to tell people, he doesn't want to scare them off by saying you have to vote for Kamala Harris. Not even Lucas Kuntz believes Kamala Harris is a good candidate. That's what he's afraid of. That's stunning. That is, this is not a swing state. This is not, that's not how this is going to go. He was arguing on there in that interview that, well, you know, just back in 2016, which, by the way, was 12 years ago, right?
Eight
years ago, sorry.
Math is hard,
which was 8 years ago. Well, you know, Democrats still held several top offices in Missouri, and it was only 2-3% vote here and there in this election, and there's a good chance, and blah, 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 blah. Donald Trump's going to win Missouri by 15 or 20 points. That's what's going to happen. And he knows that, and he doesn't want to scare people away by making them think that he's all in for this nitwit that's running for president as the Democratic candidate. Anyway, here's something I found pretty interesting. And I don't know what you're reading in the mainstream media. When I hear these polls, when I'm listening to the evening broadcasts or the morning shows on the networks, Kamala Harris holds a lead nationally. She's winning the national vote, blah, 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 blah. I'll just point this out. This is the third week in a row that President Trump has held a 2-point national lead over Vice President Kamala Harris in the Rasmussen Reports weekly poll. Rasmussen surveyed 1,820 likely voters on September 19th and the 22nd to the 25th and found 48% support Trump, 46% support Harris. These findings are nearly unchanged since last week when Trump held a 49-47 lead over Trump over Harris, and it was the same as the survey published September 19th. Internals show, and this is a large sample size, that Trump leads Harris with Hispanics 49-42%. The former president's also overperforming with black voters 28-66%. That should be closer to 15-85% in a normal, is what they would expect. So he's getting a lot of black votes. Now, I think that's a pretty interesting poll from Rasmussen.
Well, I just remember. I agree. I just remember back, though, in 2016, how off those polls were and why everyone was so stunned that Donald Trump won. And I think there's a number of factors that lead to that. And that is maybe that some of the people, when they're calling them, trying to get these poll results, the conservatives might be less likely to want to participate in that. So you're really not getting the true response from people who are going to be supporting him.
Yeah.
I think that he's going to outperform what we're seeing in the... I hope he does. I think he will. To what extent, I don't know. But that's what I'm anticipating, just like what we saw happen in 2016.
Well, don't lose faith here, folks. Despite what the barrage you're going to hear from the mainstream media, oh, she's out fundraising him. She's doing this. She's doing that. Every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, he gets media attention. He doesn't have to pay for that. So that's important. This is an article by Christian Witten, came out yesterday, 2 days ago, sorry. Trump victory comes into view. While the election seems to be on a razor's edge, I would argue that the electoral college win for Donald Trump is coming into view. Kamala Harris, even in the popular vote poll, which showed her ahead slightly, was ahead by less than Hillary Clinton was in 2016. But this isn't an election of 50 states. It's an election of about six. The Republican-leaning swing states that Trump must win, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, he leads in the Real Clear average of polls, Real Clear Politics. And beyond those, he must win only either Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or Michigan to win the presidency. Winning two of the three would be great. He only needs one. In Pennsylvania, the last four major polls have Trump tied or leading by a point or two. In Wisconsin, a recent poll had him up by a point, although most previous polls had him down by a point. So don't lose faith. All these people are, doomsayers. I think she's going to win, blah, blah, blah. This is looking a lot like 2016 to me. And I don't know if it's going to be a landslide electoral election, but Donald Trump is certainly poised to win this election, just so you know that. All right, coming up next hour, we are going to check in with meteorologist Dave Murray and find out what's in store for the weather this weekend. That's at about 6:20.
Get more at 971talk.com.